Happy New Year. It's great that we've come the last Sunday of the year to worship the Lord. And are you glad it's the last Sunday of the year? This is amazing. And I don't know what happened to you in 2020. So many things, so many stories. But this is a great Sunday to punctuate that, kind of put a period on it, put the end of a paragraph and go, we're starting new in 2021. And here at our church, and for those of you online who have been watching over the last few weeks, know that we have been praying and we've asked our congregation to pray over the last couple of weeks as to what God would want each of us to do in 2021. And we were not, I think, as prepared for 2020 as we might have been had we thought through this, but when do you think through these things as to what occurred? And so we didn't want to be caught off guard in 2021. We don't know what God is going to do. We don't know what the world is going to do, but we know who holds the future, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And I would like us just to pause today and to pray out 2020 and to pray in 2021. Can we do that? I don't know if you've ever prayed out something, but seriously, let's pray it out and pray in the new year. For some of you, you lost spouses, you've lost children, you've lost businesses, you lost your job. For others, it was not quite as traumatic. All of us lost something in some way or another. And let's just thank God for what He taught us, for what we learned in 2020, and let us pray that we will be prepared for what God has for us in 2021. Can we do that? So let's just pause right now. The music is going to continue and just pray. If you're at home, you're with your family, and you want to pray out loud with your family, go right ahead. Here, we're just going to pray quietly. And just for a moment, each one of you, just pray as you are led. Thank you, Father, for this year of 2020. It's a year like none other, a year that you've taught us so much, a year that we thought would end months and months and months ago, but it continues on and the things continue on. And Father, I pray as a congregation, as families, and as individuals here at Boca Community Church, that you would give us wisdom on how to move forward in 2021. We thank you for the lessons we learned, for the people we met, for the issues we had to deal with this year. And I pray for the strength and the guidance as we move forward in the year 2021. I thank you, Father, for each person who is in this room and each person who's listening on the live stream and those who will be listening in the coming days over the next few weeks to this talk. And Father, I pray for them and their families as they move into 2021, that you give each of us your God-given wisdom, because we know we cannot make it on our own. This is something certain that we know, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, good. We've been asking you to write down some of the things that you've learned over the last few weeks. Those of you, the hundreds of you that have agreed to pray, and we gave you a commitment card in the mail. We also had them here today, and we will have them online. If you look in the chat room, they're going to have it there for you. Pedro will have it there for you right now. You can click onto that, or you can go to our app. We'd love for you to fill this out if you're in person and leave it in one of the boxes that are around. There's boxes in the front here. There's boxes in the back. And leave what God has taught you. Write it down. We kind of committed to do this, hundreds of us, and it's amazing. There's what our commitment is to our Father, to God Himself, what our commitment is to our church here at Boca Raton Community Church. And we have some things we'd like to move forward in 2021, and you've seen them there, and we've talked about them for the last month, and you see them there as well. We've raised up to today, or up to, I should say, Christmas Eve. We haven't looked at the mail the last couple of days. Christmas Eve, about $220,000 towards that, which is really quite exciting. And thank you all who are participating. Some of that was in cash. Some of it's in commitments over a period of a month or two or three. Some of it is in increased tithing and increased weekly offerings. And thank you very much. And we appreciate that so much. So turn that in, and then we will share next week. We'll do it again. And then on the 10th, we'll share what God has done with us and for us as well. So the three things that we've been looking to renew, and renew means to resume after an interruption, have been our relationship to God, our relationship to the church, and then today, our relationship to the city. What does it mean to have a relationship with the city we're in? And so for those of you online, I'm going to be talking about South Florida. Some of you are in other states. Some of you are in other countries. Some of you are right here in Boca Raton. Wherever you are, apply this talk that's about to happen and the scriptures we're about to read to your region. It's about your city. I will give examples about our city, but it is about wherever you are at. So turn to Jeremiah 29, verses 1 to 14, and Elizabeth is going to read that for us this morning.
These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord."
Amen. This is a great passage of scripture that very few people talk about. There's one or two verses in it that we quote a lot, but we really don't talk about the whole passage of it. And so today we're going to do that. But before we do, I want to ask you a question that is asked by many people. How did you get to Florida? Who brought you here? How did you get here? What brought you here? Think about that. What brought you to Florida? How many was it a job? Raise your hand. Wow, a lot of people. How many was college brought you here and you never left? There's some with that. How many immigrated from another country to South Florida? Dozens, even hundreds of you who are here. How many your parents came and so you had to follow them? Raise your hand. Many of you. How many of you were born here? Yeah, oh, good. Good. There's us. Okay, that's good, because there's not too many of us in this. What's interesting is, let me give you a couple statistics. First of all, if you are Cuban descent, anybody of Cuban descent here? Yes, okay. In South Florida, we have almost as many Cubans in South Florida as there are in Havana. Now, we talk about little Havana. It really should be big Havana. How many Colombians are here? I'm only going to name a few countries. How many Colombians? Excellent. There are more Colombians in South Florida than in Cartagena, Colombia. It is amazing. How many Jamaicans? My family? Yes, only one? Come on, is there any more Jamaicans here? Oh, way in the back. Last row people. We got them in the front row and the back row. This is great. There are more Jamaicans in South Florida than there are four times Montego Bay. Or for those of you that know Jamaica, two times Spanish Town. It's as if we have Jamaica in South Florida. Those of you from Haiti, anyone from Haiti? Raise your hand. Fantastic. There are more people, more Haitians in South Florida than Pétionville, Gonaïves, or Cape Haitien. Any of those two cities combined. Those of you not from Haiti don't know that, but those are cities number 2, 3, and 4. Not as many as Port-au-Prince, but we have hundreds of thousands. I didn't even go into the Venezuelans or the Canadians or other groups, the Norwegians. They're from all over the world. They have come to South Florida. One last group. How many are from New York or the area around New York? Raise your hand. Okay. Another foreign country. What's interesting is Timothy Chalamet, I don't know if you know him, he's a new, a younger actor, he's from New York, and he led Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago, and he's talking about how he loves New York, and he's talking about how he loves the boroughs of New York, especially Brooklyn, Manhattan, and Boca Raton. That was on Saturday Night Live, so we are the sixth borough of New York. Chances are, the persons that live next to you are from somewhere else. Chances are you are from somewhere else. And the question becomes, what do we do when we live here? Because one of the things Elizabeth and I bemoan, my family's been in Florida since 1842, so we have been here for a while. Elizabeth emigrated here in high school, is that many people come to Florida and then they leave. They're here in transit for somewhere else. They're here for a while. And even seniors are come down to retire to transit to get to heaven. And you think I'm kidding. I am not kidding. They come, they go, this is my last stop, don't need to do anything. And what happens is a lot of people don't do anything while they're here. I'm talking Christians. They're kind of here, they're going, I'm going to go back. Everything I do is back there, wherever back there is. And I want you to understand that you have been placed here for a purpose. And we're going to look at that purpose today. And if you are only placed here for 3 weeks, you are placed here for 3 weeks. If you know you're only going to be here for 3 years, be here for those 3 years. And when you move somewhere else, be there for the time you're there. Don't be somewhere else when you are here, or vice versa. God has placed you here for a reason. And I look to Jeremiah 29 because it's a great passage. Let me give you the background of it. It's written about 5.5 centuries before Christ. This is the time of Jeremiah. It's a time when Nebuchadnezzar, who was the leader of Babylon, one of the most powerful nations at that time, actually an empire, came and took away the children of Israel in 3 deportations and moved them up to Babylon. And Elizabeth just read that they took the king, the queen mother, the metal workers, the wealthy, the intelligentsia. They took the young, smart kids like Daniel, The book of Daniel is about this whole thing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all get taken up to Babylon. The only people that are left are the elderly and the poor in Jerusalem. And if you want to read the story about that, that's the book of Lamentations for another day that Jeremiah also wrote. So all these people have been deported to the biggest city in the world, Babylon. Babylon was the New York City of the day. And what happened was when they were deported up there, they knew they would only be there, God told them, and it was repeated here, for 70 years. They were there for a generation or two or three, and that is it. And so what they did was they created a tent city, a little Babylon, let's call it, or a little Israel outside of Babylon. And the tent city was outside, and no one went into the city except maybe a few market people to buy goods to bring out. They had their own markets, they had their own economy, they had their own houses. They segregated themselves into a tent city, which nowadays we would call little Israel or little Palestine or whatever, like we call little Havana, little Italy, Chinatown, etc. And we put it there, and God said, enough already. And this passage tells those people to get out of their tent city and get into the city because they need to affect the city. And today I'd like to look at this and apply this to us because I think we in the church in the United States have set up tent cities. And those tent cities are churches. And we've put them out there. Oh, they're prettier than a tent city. And they're nicer than a tent city. But we've set up a subculture inside of the main culture. Just as the children of Israel set up a subculture next to the main culture of Babylon. And they could have stayed in their tent city and never once touched the city. And I believe we as churches can stay in our churches and not at all affect our cities, even though we're right in the midst of the city. And I think that is wrong. And I think for 2021 and following, this church wants to have an effect in the city by we who live in this city, who are followers of Jesus Christ. So can we look at this? I have 5 points. I want you to write them down, or you can just circle them in it. Point number 1, verse 5, live in the city. Settle there and make the city your home. Make the city your home. And again, you go, well, you know, I'm only going to be here for a few months. I only go to college here, or I've come down to retire and all my life involvement is somewhere else. Well, that's good, but you're here, you're not there. Invest in the city. If you're an old retired person, invest in the medical community, invest in your caretakers, invest in the condo dwellers next to you in the retirement homes, whatever it is, and those of you who are workers, invest here, even if you're only here for a very short time. We are not tourists. We are not tourists. We are what you would think, and those who have come to this country would understand. We are resident aliens. We are resident aliens. We are members of 2 cities. If I can use Augustine's term, we're a member of the city of man, earth, and we're a member of the city of God, the kingdom of God. We are not a member of 1 city. We are a member of 2 cities. And while we're living on this earth, we have to act like it. So make this city. And so for those of us who live in South Florida, make South Florida your home where you can have an effect in people. That's number 1. Number 2, how do we do this? We assimilate into the city. I'll get into more detail in the 3rd one, but I have here, but resist the values of the city. So we're members of the city of God and the city of man, of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man, but how do we do this? Let's start in verse 4, I'll read 4, 5, and 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses, live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and sons and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. In other words, this is generational. And give your daughters in marriage that they may bear children, daughters, and sons. Multiply there and do not decrease. Live in the city, but don't take its values. Now, let me ask you a question. Who sent you to this city? I said, well, your job sent you here. The exile sent you here. What's interesting is in verse 1, it says that Nebuchadnezzar sent the people to Babylon. Verse 4 says the Lord sent the people to Babylon. Verse 7 says the Lord sent the people to Babylon. Three times it tells us how they got to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar sent them, verse 1. The Lord sent them, verse 4. The Lord sent them, verse 7. Who sent the children of Israel to Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar and the Lord. Who sent you to South Florida? Every one of us have a different answer on this hand and the Lord. You have to realize you are here for this time because God has placed you here. And if you don't, then one of two things will happen. Number one is you won't connect with the city because you have no interest in the city, you have no interest in what's happening. Or two, you will assimilate totally with the city. So let me give you some thoughts on this. Timothy Keller talks about this in New York City. Think of the three big things that we talk about: sex, money, and power. Now, I know we have children here, so I'm not going to go into great detail on the first one, but I will on the second. But let's just talk about that, the first one. What you have is, with sex, is that the city tells you, our culture tells you, and the United States of America, where this church is located, tells us that sex is okay anytime, any place, any way, anyhow, and you can list all the hundreds of variations of it any way you want nowadays. It's okay because it's about me. It's about me. It's about my desires, and you can't tell me what to do because it's about me. That's what our culture tells us. What does the Bible tell us about it? The Bible tells us that it's in a loving, nurturing marriage relationship between a man and a woman where the man is looking after the woman and the woman is looking after the man. And in the most intimate human relationship in the world, which is marriage, is where the sexual union comes. So you can do it that way or you can do it this way, but you can't do it both that way and this way. So you can be in the city and still have the values of God in your life. Do you see that? Let's take money, for instance. So what does the city, what does our culture tell us? And I spend a lot of time with business people. That's kind of my love in the city. I work with business people. Business people, you know, it's all about making money and expanding and growing. And there's nothing wrong intrinsically with that, making more. But it's the value. More is better than less. Making more is better than not making more. God blesses us when we make more. Mother Nature has blessed us when we have more. This is our culture today. And then our culture has done something good in it where they said, now you got to give a little away. Give a little of this money you've made, this talent you have away, because some of the biggest money makers in our nation have started doing that, right? Bill Gates Foundation, Warren Buffett, et cetera, and now more people are giving. So it would be good to be giving. Well, this is totally against what God says, because this is all about that it's mine. This is my money, my talent, my abilities, and I'm going to give a little of it away. So I give a little to Boca Helping Hands, to Habitat for Humanity, to Boca Community Church, to Boca Christian School and their funds, and this and that. Give a little to City House. Give a little over here to 4Kids Foster Care. Which is good, we'll take your money. But please understand this, that is not what God is talking about. So when somebody says, I don't like the church because they want my money. Have you ever had somebody, I don't like 4Kids because they're always asking for my money. I don't like such and such because they're always talking about me volunteering for them. You see, it's all mine, and someone else is trying to get their hand in my pocket. See, that's the culture of the day. What does God say about all this? God says, you don't own a thing. You do not own a thing. Wait a minute. I went to college. I earned my grades. After college, I got a good job. I earned the money. After that, I got promotions. I earned more money. After that, I became the president of an organization and a division. I made more money. I did all this. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Everything you have has been given to you by God. The brains you have, the fact that you grew up in this country or the fact that you were able to immigrate into this country is far more than the 7 billion other people that live in this earth. You need to realize that everything you have is a gift from God. So then it's not, this is mine and they want mine. It is generosity, and I've preached a lot on generosity. What is generosity? It's all God's. How much am I going to keep? See, instead of how much am I going to give away, how much should I keep of this that God has given me? And then the rest is God's. See, none of us talk about that. We all talk about, well, you know, I give. Should I tithe? Do I tithe on net? Do I tithe on gross? Should I not tithe? I can't afford to tithe, or I can't. And that's all about me. It's more like God has given us this, and how much should we keep? And there's times and years you need to keep more than other times and years, absolutely. But understand this, that God owns it all. That's the biblical. That's living in the city, yet not assimilating in the values of the city. The third one, power. Power is similar to money. You know, the more you have, the more power you have, the more influence you have for that I can do. And if I'm a good guy, I'll do influence for good, but it's all about me. The power has been given to me, and I mete it out. And if I'm good, I'll mete it out good. If I'm bad, I'll do bad things. But that's not what God said. God says that he is the power. And it's through his spirit that you have anything. The power you have of anything has come from the spirit of God, unless you're living just in the flesh and you're doing it on your own. You see, there's a cultural side to this that it's all about me having the power. It's all about me and what I want in sex. It's all about me and what I want with my money, my talents, my time. And yet God says it's not. You see, you can live in the world, in the city, but you can have the values that God holds dear. And that is the tough part of this thing called being a follower of Jesus Christ. But that is what he is saying here. Number three, and this gets to the crux of the matter, verse 7, which I just read. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, I, the Lord, have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you shall find your welfare. This is one of those verses you could study your whole life and not get. This has got so much in it, but I'll just say this. Seek the welfare of the city. Some of your translations say peace and prosperity of the city. And pray for the city. So the difference between being a person here that seeks the welfare of the city, people who donate, they seek the welfare of the city. People who give seek the welfare of the city. And we should do that too. But he says, and pray for it. Do you see the difference? And pray for it. And here's the thing, which is a part of the mystery. There's a mystery here on who sent you there. Did Nebuchadnezzar or God, both, who sent you to Florida, your job, or God, both. It says here, for in its welfare, you shall find your welfare. Whose welfare? The city's welfare. In its welfare, you shall find your welfare. I don't get that. That's like that verse in Matthew chapter, I think it's chapter 6, where it says, forgive and you will be forgiven. It's like, whoa. You know that verse? That's a tough one in the New Testament. We're not going to go there. But these verses that are so hard to comprehend. If I forgive, I'll be forgiven. If I don't forgive, then I won't be forgiven. If I want the welfare to come to me. I've got to seek the welfare of the city. And how do I seek the welfare, the peace and prosperity? I go and build houses and live in it and plant there and be a part of it. And anybody can do that, and pray for it. You and I need to be praying for this city. Okay? You need to be praying for this city. Now, what does that mean to you? That could be you're in education, pray for the educational system. You're in law enforcement, pray for the law enforcement. You're not in either, pray for both. You're in the health system, pray for the health system. You're in the business world, God help you, pray for them. You figure it out. You're at FAU, pray for FAU. But if you're not at FAU, you drive by it every day. Why don't you just pray for it when you drive by it? You drive by Boca Hospital all the time. Why don't you just pray for what is going on there and our medical professionals and the Christians who are there and the believers who are there and the non-believers who are there that are running it, that it will become a great hospital so that we can serve our people. Do you see what I'm talking about here? Go coach. Go help in these helping hands in these various places. Go be a part of helping the welfare of this city, because the New Testament, which I talked about a couple weeks ago, talks about being salt and light and city on a hill and, right, a lamp and a lampstand. This is what God has called us to do. But if we congregate here, which is great, this is all fantastic, and congregate in our home Bible studies and our groups, and then go out and no one knows that we are believers and our influence is zero, what good is it? Ultimately, what good is it? It's good for this church, but it's not good for the community, and God has called us to be in this city. And this city is not just Boca Raton. I'm talking about all of South Florida, because our people come from miles to the north and miles to the south, and many of you are not even in this city as you watch us, but it is in your city. So go build houses, go plant gardens, go do business, go work in your city so that you can truly be salt and light. He's telling us how to be salt and light. You want to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Go get inside of your city. And you go, wow, but I was so involved up there, out there, in that other continent. Well, good, be involved here. As your energy allows and your abilities allow and your time allows, it is a great opportunity. So how do we do this? So how can we be in the city? We're not supposed to just hibernate. That's wrong. We're not supposed to assimilate the values of the city. So how do we do it? It's very much like being, if I can use, it's an old term and a new term, being an ambassador. You're an ambassador. You live in two worlds. An ambassador comes from one country and lives in another country. Best ambassadors are bilingual. Best ambassadors know the culture. Best ambassadors know how to live in the culture. That's the ambassador you want for that country. We are people of God who have been sent to people on this earth. We are ambassadors, resident aliens. We're resident of this world, but we're also aliens in this world. But we are ambassadors. So what does this mean? I like to use the word common good and greater good. Can I just use those two words, common good and greater good? A lot of people go, oh, you know, we as Christians should only share the gospel. Well, I don't believe that. We should share the gospel, but we should also live in the city. And living in the city also means you're interested in the common good of the city. And what's interesting is the common good, other people are interested as well. Can I say atheists are interested in the common good of the city? Those of the Jewish faith are interested in the common good. They are very interested in the common good of the city. Can I say the Muslims of the city are interested in the common good of the city? They are. I know them. They're my friends, many of them. I know them. They're interested. So I have no problem partnering with people in the common good of the city, because it is what we all want. But it also gives us a platform to talk about the greater good. You see, if you're interested in the brokenness of the city and the pain of the city and the needs of the city, you can also talk about the lostness of the city. But if you're only interested in the lostness of the city and you don't give a rip about anything else, then who's going to listen? You see, to me, it's a package. And the common good allows us to talk about the greater good. And that is so important. And we need to partner with people. Why do we help organizations that are not totally outright Christian? Because they're helping the common good of this city. FAU is helping the common good of the city. It's not at all anywhere near being a Christian organization, but it's helping the common good. It does some good things, does some bad things. We're trying to improve it. There's people in this church that are working towards that. But do you see that? This is where you can go and be salt and light, and you can share about the greater good, which is Jesus Christ. Now, here's the problem we have. I think people get this more and more when it's helping the poor. We as Christians love to help the poor, and that's important, and we at this church love to help the poor. It is a value of this church, but we also need to help the non-poor. You see, the poor in this community, let's call them the 15%, there's 85% of this community that's not poor. And what we do is we put all our outside the church resources into the 15%. We forget there's an 85% that we never even, that's your next door neighbor. That's the lady you work with in the cubicle next to you. That's the boss you have. That's the employees that work next door to you. That's the business your competitors are. Those are your vendors. They all have jobs, are doing somewhat well. But you know what? They need Jesus too. They need the love of Jesus as well. They need to be, you need to plant yourselves next to them as well and to share with them, because you're doing commerce with them. You also need to share the common good, and I believe the greater good as well. And when we begin to do that, then I think the salt permeates the culture and the light exposes the darkness of the culture. Because God has called us to do that. Number four, verses 12 and 13. This comes to us. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Seek God with all your heart, and you will find him. This is a core belief of our Christian walk, is that there is a God, he wants a relationship with us, and he can be found if you pray. Pray to him. We have so many people. Let me just tell you, for me, the easiest way to share the gospel in this city that doesn't need much is to talk about prayer. For me, prayer, it's like, can I pray for you? I've only had one or two people say no. And some people are surprised and go, I don't know what yet. And I've had people come back to me and go, you can now pray for this and all. But when you talk about prayer, and then you turn around and go, hey, tonight, why don't you just pray to God? And if people are praying, even if they're praying wrong, and they're praying in the wrong way, in the wrong posture, God's going to listen. I think God's going to come on. I think God's going to come here to this community that has a lot of people that know nothing about God. Or we can just pray in our huddles. We can just come here and pray. We can come to our little Bible studies and pray. We can come to our prayer groups and pray. Or we can take prayer out to the streets. And I think you need to take prayer out to the streets. And you need to talk to people about prayer, because you can find God. God is not lost. People are lost. We go, I can't find God. I can't see God. My friend, if you pray, you will find God. If you truly seek God, he will be found. And when you share that with people, this community will change. It will change. I got to tell you, it will change. I have a friend who's in a position that you would know his name, and not a believer. And I pray for him every week, and I send him texts. He sends texts back. He asked me to pray for such and such and such and such. And it's just an amazing. We are talking at a level of prayer, even before he believes in the God of prayer. Now, prayer is not getting you to heaven. Jesus Christ is getting you to heaven. But prayer is a door that helps open that up. Prayer is not going to get you to heaven. Let me repeat that. Just praying will not get you to heaven. It's Jesus Christ who gets you to heaven. Belief in him. But prayer opens that door. And then finally, and this is so important for all of us, verse 11, which I skipped, which is probably the only verse you knew before we started here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, some of your words say peace, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want us to close with this thought. God is interested in your welfare. See, God asks us to be interested in the welfare of the city. Please be aware that God is interested in your welfare. And he's so interested, he's interested in giving you hope and a future. And I think this being the last week of this very tumultuous year, it is something to remember that God loves us enough that he wants to give us hope and a future. And we as believers, he's writing this to the Jewish people who were believers back then, most of them, not all of them, saying, God is there to give you hope and give you a future. And that is the beauty of this. We're not just saying, seek the welfare of the city to make it a better place. I do want to make Boca Raton and South Florida a better place. I want to make it the best place in the world, actually. Because if we make it the best place in the world, more people will come here that we can share the gospel to. I know many of you, once you come here, you want to close the doors and not let anybody else in. That's a very unchristian thing to say, by the way. Let's let the doors open so we can get people here so we can share the gospel with them. We don't have to leave our homes. I know I'm going to get some emails on that, but please understand this. It's what the Bible says. The Bible says, seek the welfare of the city of which I have placed you in, because in its welfare you shall find your welfare. And what's amazing is, if you think of it, God says he's interested in our welfare. Could God actually work through the city for our benefit? The answer is yes. God is so interested in the city. God is so interested in out there that he will work out there to help us in here. That is an opposite concept. Please understand that God has given you an opportunity to work with him while you are here on earth. Older, younger, I got young kids down here, I got old people that may not make it to this week next year. And maybe some of us won't make it, we don't know. But while we are here, let's have God use us to his glory. Can we do that? And then we will renew. And for some, it will be new. For some of us, it's just renew, resuming. For some, it's starting their relationship with the Almighty God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let us move into 2021 victoriously. Let's pray together.